You're listening to Nick Luck Daily, bringing you the latest news and the best interviews from around the world of horse racing. Brought to you in association with Fitzdares, the world's finest bookmaker, the Racehorse Owners Association, and Thoroughbred Racing Commentary. To celebrate the launch of Nick Luck Daily, Fitzdares have a special sign-up offer that will double your winnings on your first bet up to a £50 stake. Just go to www.fitzdares.com/luck to sign up. Hi, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for listening. It is Wednesday, July the 29th, and yesterday I posed the question, could Goodwood still be glorious? Well, Stradivarius, with a fourth Goodwood Cup and Frankie Dettori, proved that it absolutely could. And as we look ahead to another wonderful day of sport in Britain, temperatures forecast to rise to 26 Celsius at Goodwood and at Galway in Ireland, we are buoyed by the news that Stradivarius is now on a collision course with her stablemate Enable in the Arc. Now, in a moment, I'll be discussing that prospect with broadcaster Jane Mangan. But first, I figured really there was only one way to begin today's show. Well, just to prove that Frankie Dettori's work is never done and he's not resting on his laurels, you might be able to hear what he's doing now. Frankie, morning.
Morning, Nick.
What are you doing?
I am doing a charity walk and run for the injured jockey, George Baker, what had a tragic accident and nearly lost his life in St. Moritz 2-3 years ago, has chose me to equal his 40-mile in 9 days challenge. So I got to match it. As you know, George, it took me almost a year to learn how to walk again, and luckily now he's back on his feet, but obviously can't ride again. So we are raising money for an injured jockey's fund. We've got 3 rehabilitation centres, one in the Chuck Berry House in Moulton, then we've got the Oaksley House, Lambourne, and Peter O'Sullivan in Newmarket. And these rehabilitation centres need support, they need funding, and we try to raise awareness. And if people are listening to this, go to the website and please donate something.
Yeah, ijf.com, the 9 Lives Challenge. Frankie, as I say, no rest for the wicked. What a day yesterday. You must still be on cloud 9. I mean, what a week.
Yeah, listen, I'm still buzzing from Enable. I mean, our performance and the well wishes that I got from everyone around the world has been fantastic. And then topping it up with one of English favourite horses, well, the world's favourite horses, Stradivarius, and we showed an amazing turn of foot like that yesterday. It was remarkable. And yeah, really on cloud 9. So it makes my run in the morning much easier. Got a nice spring in my step this morning.
I bet you have. And I titled this show, Does Stradivarius Really Have a Chance if he runs in the Arc? What do you think?
Listen, if you're going to try, this year is the 6. It's not going to get any younger. So, you know, listen, even before yesterday, Bjorn always wanted. I was always thinking about it, and then he knows that at the moment, I'm sticking with Enable. So, but I'm not going to put him off. He's a very versatile horse. There is always a great possibility that the ground becomes soft. Now that we know that he can handle it, it could be Enable's biggest threat. Who knows?
I mean, I like quite a few people thought, he's got to give all this weight to an Irish Derby winner. I felt like such a chump afterwards for thinking that he wasn't going to win. Because he just gets it done every time. There aren't many horses like that.
I mean, he's so super consistent. And, it's going to be great. You know, obviously, next year, I mean, Bjorn Nielsen is very keen to try to equal the 8 records. But, the horse is in tremendous form. And it feels like this year is the year that he should try to win the Arc.
Yeah, for sure. And we like people who do things that are bold in this game. Do you think you could win the Sussex on Wichita?
I think 5 or 6 in the race can win it. I was in place for 6 skins still on the foot in Ireland. My horse is very solid. I found him to be in the first 3. And then he's going to be a little bit tactical, and let's hope that I come out on top, you know. But it's really, really, at the moment, it looks like the race of the year at the moment.
It does. I'm going to leave you be. I can still hear you running away. Top man, Frankie, thanks so much for chatting to me.
Thanks, mate. Bye.
And I'm joined to discuss all of the above by broadcaster Jane Mangan. Jane, do you think that Stradivarius has any chance in an Arc de Triomphe?
Nick, I'd love to see him go there, but honestly, the answer to your question is I don't think he's good enough to beat the mares that are around. Mares, i.e. Magical, Enable, or Love. But look, he's a specialist at a mile and 6 2 miles. He's been a wonderful horse. Like the aforementioned Magical and Enable, what he does is what really only the best horses do, is he turns up every day. And I thought he was good yesterday. And he obviously has that little lethal weapon that Frankie can expose everybody else, is the turn of foot that just shows the difference between good stares and a brilliant stare. But realistically, I think if he turns up in the Arc, I can't see him beating the females.
Do you think it's a good call on the part of his owner, given how much he's achieved in these staying races, and he's won all of them multiple times? Is this the correct last roll of the dice? If indeed it is the last roll of the dice, he may go to the Gold Cup next year.
Well, I'd love to see him back next year to try and emulate what Yates did. But of course, it's absolutely, the horse deserves an opportunity to run in the best race in Europe. And that is what the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe is. And obviously, Frankie'll obviously have to stick loyal to the mayor, but he has every right to be there. And I can't imagine trading a Prix de l'Arc for another British Champions Day on heavy ground, which we know he doesn't like. I couldn't see why they wouldn't.
How stupid, Jane, and you can answer this as candidly as you always do, how stupid do you think I should feel for suggesting that I thought Stradivarius would be beaten yesterday?
It's not unusual for people to try and make a race exciting by seeing how Stradivarius could get beaten. And of course, the only new ingredient to yesterday was a three-year-old getting plenty of weight, because we're typically looking at Stradivarius beating the same rivals all the time. It's not unusual for somebody to try and get him beat, but realistically, he's the kind of horse he's in no nonsense, just do the job, don't win by 10 lengths. And that's probably why every time he comes out, we might doubt him. But I love this horse. I think he's got a constitution and an attitude that very few have.
Well, that was a wonderful start. We began the programme yesterday by saying, can Goodwood still be glorious? It certainly was. It's a beautiful day now, and we're looking ahead to the Sussex Stakes. Siskin has made his way over. He has landed safely this morning, and I have just been catching up with his trainer, Ger Lyons, and I began by asking him just how he was feeling this morning.
Very nervous, Nick. Like to get used to this feeling, though. It's why we work hard. It's why we get up out of bed in the morning to be involved in these big races. So it's a great thrill.
And in terms of the horse's very recent preparation, were you happy with everything last night and when you saw him earlier in the week?
Yeah, touch wood. He's been the real pro. He's very straightforward to train. He left early this morning. He's landed over there already. So very happy with him, and all he's got to do now is have luck in running and be the best horse in the race, and if he is, he'll win, and if he's not, he won't.
Has he travelled okay?
Yeah, at the minute so far everything is good. So I have a great team, Andrew and Dan are gone with him, and we've all things covered, and as I said, all we need is a bit of luck in running now and see what happens.
And we saw yesterday in some of the races at Goodwood, you know, sometimes you just don't get the rub of the green here. It's that type of track. But do you think he's the sort of horse with the attributes to be able to counteract that?
Well, he likes cover. Would I rather not be in stall one? Listen, I don't know. It's the shortest route. He likes cover, and the way I look at it, and Frankie said it after the stairs race, was if you're on the best horse, you'll get through the gaps, and if you're not, you won't. It's as simple as that. So what was it Cassius Mewson said many years ago? He said, I couldn't go through the gap, and when he was asked why, he says the gap was going quicker than he was.
I began this episode by asking, what is it that makes Stradivarius so good? You referred to Frankie Dettori yesterday. I'm sure as a racing fan, as much as anything else, you enjoyed watching that.
Oh, absolutely. He's as good as we've seen. I mean, it goes back to the days of Yates, even goes back further to the great horses. I mean, it's great to see. It's great to see it being mixed around to different owners. And no matter what the trip, I mean, I'd give anything to have Stradivarius in the yard. You know, they're just world beaters. And to rock up there like an Able and be turning up in these group ones week in, you know, month in, month out, race in, race out, and delivering. It's a testament to everybody involved in their teams.
You've been very generous with your timing, and I can hear in your voice how nervous you are about this afternoon. Just try and explain to people what today means for you.
It's just anticipation, Nick. I mean, it's out of your hands. You're dealing with a horse race, so ultimately it's not life or death, but it's equivalent to a footballer in a cup final. It's equivalent to a golfer in a major. It's just, you just need luck. You just need, you know, you've done the best you can. It's out of your hands. And what it means is, if we're lucky enough to win it, it'll be another step in the right direction for the yard, and it'll be continuance of a fantastic year we've had so far.
Jarrah, I won't keep you any longer. Thanks so much. See you later.
Cheers, next week. To you later. Bye-bye.
Well, I think everyone, Jane, has really warmed to Jer Lyons and the way he's been talking about this horse the last couple of months. I think it's a terrific story.
Yes, and there's something beautiful about how they appreciate him, and they're discussing him as once in a generation type horse. And we're used to, and no offense to any connections who have multiple good horses, but this is Jer Lyons and Colla Keane's, their first real star. And you can feel it with them, and everybody in at this side of the Irish Sea is willing them to bring home the bacon here. Because I walked the Galway racetrack with Colin Keane yesterday, and we were walking the mile just trying to get an insight, and you know, they just have a genuine love for the horse. And I know when they went over for the Middle Park last year, not only did things go wrong in the stalls, but the horse could have really hurt himself. And that was a fright that they got. And I'm just, please God, everything will go smooth for them today. They'll be probably last at the 7 to load. They just happen to have one of the key ingredients to probably the races of the season. This is obviously extremely deep in every horse in here. It's very difficult to rule them out. But Siskin, it's lovely to finally see the British and Irish comparison. Who's got the best three-year-old? Who was the strongest Guineas winner? We're going to find out this afternoon. And it's really exciting.
Well, so often, Jane, we talk about horses who should be here. And in this case, yes, we're missing Palace Pier and Pinatubo, but we can't really quibble with the depth of quality on offer in this race.
No, you have the good older horses. Circus Maximus is probably grossly underestimated for what he's achieved in his career. Mohathir is the horse that's finally getting a clear run at a season. Kameko back down to a mile, having contested the Derby. That is a drastic move, but it could prove very lucrative. Siskin exclusively raced at 6 last year, was very good in what was a tactical battle at the Curra. Wichita, is he being overlooked? Vatican City is also very interesting. Second to Siskin in the Irish Guineas. Then clearly the Derby was a muddling race, but connections indicated that he didn't stay. And if you look at his pedigree, not many of his family get beyond 10 furlongs. So he's back to a mile as well. I think there's for punters, this is a very difficult race, but trying to find a winner, trying to find each way value in a 7-runner race. It's typical there isn't an 8-1 in here. But I think Mohathir for me is the horse that could be the one that'll rise to the top. The three-year-olds are going to have to continue their step up. Mohathir and Circus Maximus, they're the horses that are rated 120. Yes, they are giving £8 to the three-year-olds, but they set the bar.
Now, while I'm enjoying the sunshine at Goodwood this week, you are in Galway. Galway must be quite curious with nobody there.
It is like standing in a subway station. The trains are coming and going, but there's nobody on them, and you're the only one on the platform. It is something like an afterlife, if I can only do justice by saying that, because Galway is one of those festivals that relies on the atmosphere that the crowd creates, and the jocularity and the nightlife and everything that goes with it. Honestly, it is nothing to write home about. It is simply, as Ted Walsh said, an industry meeting. It is very positive that it is going ahead. These horses need to run. People need to make a living. But essentially, Galway without the crowds is no fun.
Okay. Have you managed to back any winners?
No, Nick, I'm probably your weakest link on that front, to be fair.
We'll come to that a little bit later. You can clamber your way back up the Nick Luck Daily podcast tipping ladder, which I'm sure.
Well,
is...
I have Mohathir today from last week. He's yet to run, so
you
I, could
do,
have two, I could have two runners for you today.
I'd forgotten you were keeping that one up your sleeve. A very cunning plan. You weren't anticipating
he
another appearance
to one,
so soon.
I think, when I tipped him up, Nick.
Yeah, right, Jane. Tell me a little bit about the Galway Plate this evening and what we can expect and what you expect of the runners.
Well, I expect an awful lot of rain. I think I'm going to have to deploy the Wellingtons today. Galway is looking like it's going to be monsoon season. I always look for a horse low down in the Galway Plate. It's going to be very difficult for the likes of Jet to defy the weight. Early Doors, we remember Early Doors winning the Martin Pipe Conditional Riders Handicap Hurdle at Galway Festival, or at the Cheltenham Festival even, with John O'Neill a couple of seasons back. He remains a maiden over fences, but I have a funny feeling that this horse has found himself on a very favourable mark of 139, and he's got plenty of experience. He's run plenty of times over fences last year. He's a lovely weight of 10.5 on his back. He's donning the colours of JP McManus, who, remember, won this many times, but won it with a certain Carlingford lock before. And I think Mark Walsh would have had the choice. Cheek pieces are on first time. We've seen JP have it right off already this week with Flying Scotsman winning over a mile and a half and back to a mile yesterday on the flat. Well, this is going to be a notoriously difficult race to find the winner in, but I think he is the horse that has the profile for this race.
Well, another runner in the Galway Plate who might be of some interest and is around about 16 to 1 is Live, Love, Laugh. He'll be carrying the familiar pink silks of Rich Ritchie, and I'm in catching up with his racing manager, Joe Chambers, to whom I asked whether he thought the horse had any sort of chance.
Morning, Nick. It's over his ideal trip. He does seem to be a horse, however, that does improve for a run. And he did have a little break after Cheltenham, given the onset of the pandemic. He ran very well at Cheltenham, and we were kind of all systems go for the top him. But obviously, everything that's gone on has gotten in the way. So how forward he is for this, time will only tell when we get to the race. But his mark is probably fair. It's over his ideal trip, but I could just probably see him improving for the run, just given he had a bit of a break after it. But it will be no surprise to see us outrun his odds. I do think he's overpriced.
And plenty of runners on the flat and over hurdles and fences at Galway this week. What do you anticipate being the highlight, or what's been the highlight so far?
Nothing so far. Sharjah went off a fairly heavily gambled on favourite for the amateur handicap on Monday evening, and he's just patently, I think, not as good a flat horse as he is a hurdle horse. For all that, you got to ride him for luck. That's just his run style, and at Galway you need an awful lot of that when you have a horse like that. But that's fine. We'll tip away with him, and he'll have a hurdling campaign not too dissimilar to what he had last year. Tiger Tap Tap ran the same race. He was very, very keen. I still think, I have it half in my mind, he'd be a better flat horse than Hurdler. He looked to be a very exciting Hurdler when he made his debut and was just beaten ahead by Sir Eric at Leopardstown in a three-year-old maiden hurdle. But for a variety of different reasons, things haven't really worked out for him. But he's backing up in the Galway Hurdle on Thursday. Conor McNamara is going to take a handy few pounds off him at the bottom of the handicap. If Monday has knocked the fizz out of him, and if he can get a handy position early in the race, I could see him running pretty well off a very light weight compared to the racing weights he's been carrying all winter.
And any news on the winter horses, Faheen and so forth?
Faheen is fine. He's tipping along. A good few of them have come in from grass a little bit earlier than normal, mainly because they went out earlier than normal. And I guess in some walks of life, there can be too much of a good thing. So Benny is in about a week to 10 days. I don't expect the fact that they are in the yard earlier than normal is going to make one jot of a difference to WP Mullins's creature of habit training tendencies. So I wouldn't read anything into that by way of them being ready for October. for example. So time will tell as to where they go. But yeah, they're all beginning to trickle back in. And looking forward to it. A good few novices for next season again, and picked up a couple of AQPS horses from France recently. So yeah, we're obviously looking forward to it, and it's a little bit weird seeing some of them come into the yard in a month that doesn't begin with an A or an S.
Joe, thanks so much for talking to us. Best of luck.
Cheers, Nick.
Joe Chambers there. And Jane, while we're talking about our favourite National Hunt horses, our favourite jumps horses on Galway Plate Day, we ought to just give a nod to the news that Presenting Percy, one of the best jumpers in Ireland in recent seasons, has moved stables.
Yes, huge blow for Pat and Tony Kelly. Philip Reynolds has opted to take 8 horses to different yards, and Presenting Percy being one that is going to go to Gordon Elliott. And Philip Reynolds is a gentleman, and he's entitled to do whatever he wants with his horses. But I think Gordon Elliott will do very well to emulate the exploits of what Pat Kelly has achieved with Presenting Percy. That day in the RSA chase at Cheltenham was a wow performance. And I have a funny feeling, actually rode Presenting Percy in the champion bumper for Pat Kelly. He lived for that horse. So it's a huge, huge blow to a very small yard. And look, I can empathise with them. I know myself, it's very hard, near impossible, to find a horse of that calibre again. But he can rest assured that he has achieved almost brilliance with that horse, and Gordon Elliott will be up against it to improve any bit out of him.
We've talked a lot about ownership and how owners are coping in the current situation, and whether they feel they're getting a good return in these difficult times. And quite often in the last few weeks, the answer has been not really. But things might well be changing, and things certainly seem to be changing as far as Goodwood is concerned. I've been speaking to Ross Harmon, who owns a number of horses with trainer John Quinn. At Ross ran Safe Voyage, a luckless fourth yesterday in the Lennox Stakes. Goodwood Stall won par excellence. I've been talking to Ross, and I began by asking him what his race day experience was like.
Yeah, we've been racing. We went to Epsom and York and Haydock, and now obviously we went to Goodwood, and you can see that everyone's trying very hard at the present moment in time with a lovely lunch, and it was good. We was very, very, very promising, I thought yesterday was.
So you noticed a distinct upswing, did you, in the customer service that you were getting as an owner?
Yes, I think so. I think there's a few more owners there, which helped. It is, as an owner, I know it's very difficult. We're all delighted that we're racing, let's put it that way. So that I'm not complaining from that point of view. But it does make it, you can tell the difference when obviously people aren't there. So I thought everybody was fantastic there, and they made you feel very, very welcome. Very welcome.
And I gather Goodwood had sent out a letter to all the owners beforehand telling them exactly what they could get. And there's quite a significant amount of food and drink laid on as well.
Yes, that was I mean, obviously, we're delighted just to go racing, but it makes a nice difference when you go there and you can have a glass of champagne, and we had a sort of a lovely lunch, and there was plenty to eat. It was busier, and it was nice to see it was busier, and I think that's going to make a big difference for the future for an owner and for everybody else going racing.
Without a doubt, Safe Voyage, drawn one at Goodwood. Sometimes it can be great, sometimes it can be a nightmare. He ran his heart out again.
I've watched it about 10 times. When you've drawn one, you're hostage, as they always say, you're hostage to fortune. And I thought he ran a fantastic race. I think it was one of the best races he's ran. I thought he just got stuck on the rails at Goodwood and probably won't be the last to do it either. But no, I was delighted with his run, and I think he might win next time. There you go, Nick.
Well, I hope he does. Have you any idea when that might be?
Yeah, I spoke to the boss man, and well, I'm rather hoping there's a race at York in 2.5 weeks, I think. So that's his target, hopefully. Anyway,
that'll be the City of York Stakes at the Ebor Festival. Ross, thanks so much for chatting to us. I'm glad you had such a good day in spite of the horse not enjoying the best of runs.
My pleasure. Thank you ever so much, Nick.
That was really encouraging to hear what a good day Ross Harmon had at Goodwood. And they really have pushed the boat out this week as well. So all power to them. Jane, it just remains for you to get your name on that NLD Tips leaderboard, which, I'm sure has been a long-standing ambition of yours.
Yeah, well, I know you're going to give me double points if I pick the winner of the Galway Plate, which is a notoriously 22 runner difficult handicap, and I am sticking with Early Doors. Please God, he might run well for me, and I think Mark Walsh, just in the shadows of Barry Geraghty's retirement, this could be the first big step forward for him. He's got a beautiful weight, former Cheltenham Festival winner. He has JP McManus's silks on, and he's a nice, nice price.
And I must give a nod to our very generous supporters of this podcast, Thoroughbred Racing Commentary, Racehorse Owners Association. You just heard from one of their members, Ross Harmon, and of course, FitzDares. And given the fact that Jane has put up two horses today, if you sign up with a new account of FitzDares, don't forget, as I said at the very beginning of the programme, that any bet up to £50 over even money, they will double your return, so you could make yourself very wealthy today. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow to reflect on what we hope is going to be a pulsating Sussex Stakes from Goodwood. By the time you listen to this, you probably know the result already, or you might well know the result already. If you enjoy this podcast, please do rate, review and subscribe, and you can do that on iTunes, on Google, on Spotify and on SoundCloud. See you again tomorrow when Rishi Prasad will be my guest. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Nick Luck Daily, brought to you in association with FitzDares, the Racehorse Owners Association, and Thoroughbred Racing Commentary.